Gracious God, you are an amazing God. You have an amazing story. And so we come seeking you today, asking you to reach us where we're at, transform us by your grace, so that no one leaves here the same as we came in. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. I invite you to be seated. Shepherd, who are going to be running the Chicago Marathon to raise money for clean water in Africa. Man, you're good. I haven't even got to the exciting part yet. But they're going to have a lot of ground to cover, 26.2 miles to be exact. But the exciting thing is this team has raised nearly $100,000. That's double what we raised last year, and it's enough to provide clean water for 2,000 children. I think that's amazing. And I was thinking about the marathon while preparing for the message today, because we have a lot of ground to cover today. If you're new to Good Shepherd, we've been going through the Bible together. And I think lots of people have heard stories from the Bible, but what most people don't know is that the entire Bible weaves together to tell one big overarching story. And it's in this story that we discover who we are, whose we are, why we're here, what life is all about, where to meet our needs, how to live life to the fullest. And so we've been going through the Bible to better understand the larger story and how it connects with our lives. We've been using a resource called The Story, and it divides the Bible up into small chapters that you can read through like a novel. We also have some small groups meeting weekly to discuss the material and how it applies to our life. So if you haven't yet, I would encourage you to get a copy of the story and get involved with a small group. And because this journey has been so big, we broke it up into separate segments spread throughout the year. And next week, we're going to head into the final leg of our journey. And today, I have the monumental task of reviewing everything we've covered so far. That's only like 5,000 years of history and 50 books of the Bible. Needless to say, we have a lot of ground to cover. Now, I recognize that most of you have not been training for an ultramarathon message. And so I'm going to go easy on you. We're not going to do an ultramarathon or even a full marathon message. Instead, we're going to do a half marathon message. Today, we're going to review 13.1 characters from God's storyboard that help connect us with the larger story of the Bible. And we're going to have to move fast, so I wanted to give you something that you can hold on to. Woven through every story, every character in the Bible is this good news. God is with us and is fighting for us. See, it's not just that God cares about us. God pursues us. God stays by our side through thick and thin. God stands up for us. God lays his life down for us. God is with us and is fighting for us. And this good news is central to God's story, and how we respond to that good news impacts our story. Because when we draw near to God, when we partner with God, God's able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine. On the other hand, when we drift away from God and go against God, we find ourselves headed down a slippery slope. We're going to see that dynamic as we look at the 13.1 characters from God's storyboard. Are you ready for this? All right. That was a little weak. Are you ready for this? Okay, let's do it. First of our 13.1 characters is Adam and Eve. God created people out of love to be in a close, loving relationship with us. We see that with Adam and Eve. God made this beautiful garden where they could live. God came close to Adam and Eve, walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. God provided more than enough for all their needs. God set only one boundary for Adam and Eve. And we may not like boundaries, but God's boundaries are always designed to protect us and keep us safe. And God said, you can eat from any tree in the garden except one. And here they encountered temptation. Satan appeared to Adam and Eve in the form of a serpent. And we glean from the scriptures that Satan was an angel who wanted to be worshipped rather than worship God. And so he lost his exalted position along with other rebellious angels. And since then, Satan has been trying to get people to drift away from God and go against God. So Satan told Adam and Eve, don't listen to God. God's holding out on you. If you eat this forbidden fruit, your life will be so much better. It's interesting. I saw a documentary recently about a spider-tailed viper. Have you seen these? It's fascinating. So these serpents literally have a growth on their tail that looks like a spider. And they move it back and forth to lure their prey in. And a bird sees a spider and is like, yummy. And he flies in and bam, sinks its deadly teeth into that victim. And I think Satan operates kind of the same way. He dangles a temptation in front of us and says, this is going to be good for you. This will make your life better. And you go for the bait and bam, he sinks his teeth into you. The venom of greed, pride, lust, addiction, busyness, it seeps into our soul. And we find ourselves stuck in a dangerous trap. Sadly, Adam and Eve chose to drift away from God and go against God, and they got stung. Because of their sinful decision, evil and death entered into the story. Guilt, blame, shame seeped into the first marriage. On October 19th, the Married People Ministry is hosting an event about how to deal with conflict in relationships. Something that we all deal with. And it all goes back to this sin thing. Sin ruined our relationship with each other. It ruined our relationship with the world. And it ruined our relationship with God. It's because our sin, it separates us from our perfect and holy God. And God could have turned his back on humanity, but God didn't. Even in the fall, we see that God is with us and is fighting for us. God graciously provided clothing for Adam and Eve, who now felt self-conscious about their bodies. And God made a promise and launched a plan to get us back. Character two, Abraham and Sarah. Part of God's plan was to form a new family and a new nation that would reveal God's presence, power, and plan to get us back. In Genesis 12, 1 through 3, God said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. So God's assuring Abraham, I'm with you, I'm fighting for you. God wanted to bless Abraham, bless the whole world through him. And anyone who fought against Abraham would find themselves fighting against the living God. It's a pretty sweet deal. The deal, however, required faith. Because Abraham didn't know all the details of the journey. He just had to trust and follow. And the same is true for us. We don't always know all the details of the journey ahead. But that's not for us. Our role is to trust and to follow where God leads. And Abraham started strong. It's kind of like the marathon. He got off to a good start and then started huffing and puffing and struggled to trust God. Because Abraham and Sarah, they were old. And Sarah was barren. And he could not imagine how God would bear a child through them, let alone a new nation. And so Abraham took matters into his own hands. And when we do that, it usually leads to trouble. Abraham drifted away from God. He went against God. He slept with another woman and had a child through her. And this caused a huge mess that we're still dealing with today. Because Sarah did have a baby, just like God promised. And now there was tension between Sarah's child, Isaac, and Abraham's other son, Ishmael. Isaac was the ancestor of the Jewish nation, Ishmael, the ancestor of the Arab nations. Those two people groups are still fighting today. Character three, Joseph. Unhealthy family dynamics got passed on from generation to generation. Isaac played favorites with his son, Jacob.
Jacob had 12 sons who became the 12 tribes of Israel. Jacob played favorites with his son, Joseph. Infuriated by this, his other brothers faked Joseph's death and sold him as a slave to Egypt. Now, we've all dealt in some way with sibling rivalry, but come on. Wow. But God was with Joseph, and he blessed Joseph. Joseph rose to second in command to his master. But the master's wife took a liking to Joseph, and she tried to get him to sleep with her. There's that temptation thing again. This time, Joseph said no to sin and yes to God. Furious, the master's wife framed him for rape and had him thrown in prison. A couple of weeks ago, Don asked the question, what happens when you follow God and things still turn out bad? Well, Joseph shows us. You draw close to God and you partner with God. God blessed Joseph's faithfulness. Again, he rose to second in command in his prison and then second in command of all Egypt. And God took something that was bad and turned it around for good. Joseph came to power just in time to help save Egypt and his family from a severe famine. His family came to live in Egypt, and God blessed them so much that soon they outnumbered the Egyptians. Fearful of the Hebrews, the Egyptian pharaoh made an order that all Hebrew baby boys would be killed. Character number four, Moses. One Hebrew mom placed her baby in a basket by the riverbank and prayed that God would deliver him. In a twist of irony that only God could arrange, the Pharaoh's daughter found Moses and raised him as her own child. When Moses got older, he became incensed by the injustices that were being done to his people. And one day, he kind of lost it. He killed an Egyptian who was abusing a fellow Hebrew. As a result, Moses had to run for his life and take up residence in the desert. It was there that God appeared to Moses in a burning bush. And the people of Israel thought that God had forgotten about him, that God had abandoned them. But God assured Moses that God is with us and is fighting for us. In Exodus 3, 7 through 10, God said to Moses, I have indeed seen the misery of my people. I have heard them crying out. I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a land flowing with milk and honey. So now go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Moses didn't think he was cut out for the job. Here's another cool part of God's storyboard. God believes in us before we believe in God. Because God made us good. He knows us, and he has a good purpose and a good plan for every single one of us if we would only draw close to him and partner with him. And God worked miraculously through Moses to deliver the people of Israel from slavery, to teach them God's instructions, to lead them to the promised land. Unfortunately, Moses let the pressures and the problems of the journey interfere with his relationship to God, and he began to drift and go against God. As a result, he never made it into the promised land. That responsibility would go to his apprentice, character number five, Joshua. The people of Israel were afraid to go into the promised land because it was barricaded with a strong wall. It was guarded by big soldiers. And many of us, we face challenges in our life that can seem so big and insurmountable. But God gives us the same assurance that he gave to Joshua. He's with us, and he's fighting for us. In Joshua 1, 5 through 7, God said, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. And so God encouraged Joshua to draw close to him by reading and following God's word. Same thing that Pastor Greg challenged us to do last week. And Joshua stayed close to God, trusted God's word, even at times when it didn't always make sense. And the people of Israel found that God is stronger than any wall in our way and bigger than any giant we might face. And Joshua led the people into the promised land. But what he didn't do was mentor somebody to lead after him. And without a strong leadership, Israel plummeted into some very dark times. It got so bad that people began leaving the promised land to find refuge in foreign lands. One woman named Naomi went to Moab with her husband and two sons, only to watch all three of them die. Hope came from a surprising place. Character 6, Ruth. Naomi's foreign daughter-in-law, Ruth, trusted God when Naomi couldn't. And here we see another neat theme in God's storyboard. God uses surprising people in his story. Foreigners, prostitutes, murderers, tax collectors. No matter who you are or what you've done, God can work through your life if your heart is open to him. And Ruth's daring trust in God revealed once again that God is with us and is fighting for us. God provided food to eat, a protector for the family, a husband for Ruth, and a new baby who would be the grandfather of King David. Character 7, David. The people of Israel thought that their circumstances would get better if only they had a king like the other nations. We tend to do this. We tend to place faith in human leaders when really it's God who deserves our faith and allegiance. But in his mercy, God let them have kings. And God saw in David a man after his own heart. And when David drew close to God and partnered with God, God did amazing things. David wrote hundreds of songs for God, united the nation as one kingdom, defeated all of their enemies. But when David drifted away from God and went against God, awful things happened. One night, David gave in to temptation. He committed adultery, which led to a pregnancy, which led to a failed cover-up attempt, which led to mass murder. It was awful. Maybe some of you are here today and you are just knee-deep in sin and stuck in an awful mess. David's story reminds us that despite our sin, God is still with us and fighting for us. God sent a spiritual leader to confront David of his sin. And David confessed what he had done and received God's forgiveness. And maybe for some of you, this moment is that time for you, that maybe God is convicting your heart of things that you've done. And this is an opportunity to confess and to receive God's forgiveness. David still had some consequences to deal with because of his sin, but God gave him a new beginning and a new heir to the throne. Character number 8, Solomon. Solomon's testimony is found in the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon tried everything that the world says will make us happy and fulfilled. Money, power, pleasure, achievement, work, fame. If you've ever pursued these things or are pursuing them, you're going to find out the same thing Solomon found out. In the end, all of these things leave us empty and unfulfilled. He finally discovered that it's only God who can fill that void in our life and give us true joy, satisfaction, and fulfillment. Unfortunately, the kings had a hard time remembering this truth. A few kings drew close to God, partnered with God, and it went great. But a majority of the kings drifted away from God and went against God, and things got awful. Division tore the nation apart. And in 931 BC, the nation split in two, the northern tribes called Israel and the southern tribes called Judah. Character 9, Elisha. God sent prophets or messengers to speak God's truth to the people, try to lead them back to God. One prophet was Elisha, and he has one of the best stories that illustrate God is with us and is fighting for us. One night, an enemy army surrounded the camp where Elisha was staying. Elisha's attendant got up early, and he saw the army and just panicked. And Elisha said, "Don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are against us." And the attendant was like, "What are you talking about?" And Elisha prayed, "God, would you open his eyes so that he can see?" And the attendant looked around and saw the hills filled with angel armies. And God struck the enemy army with blindness, and Elijah brought them back into the center of the Israelite camp. And when the enemy's eyes were opened, they saw now they were surrounded. And the Israelites said, "Should we kill them?" And Elisha said, "No, give them food and drink and send them home in peace." And that day the battle was won with love, and the war ended. And I'm guessing maybe some of you are in situations that seem just absolutely overwhelming. I pray that God would give you eyes to see that he's with you and he's fighting for you. I pray that you might be strong and courageous and fight for love. Character 10, Hezekiah. Despite the best efforts of the prophets, the nation of Israel continued to drift away from God. And the farther they drifted, the worse things got. First, the northern kingdom fell to the Assyrian army in 722 BC. Then Assyria turned south to Judah. King Hezekiah encouraged his people with these words: "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria and the vast army with him. For there is a greater power with us than with him. With him is only the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us fight our battles." 2 Chronicles 32, 7 through 8. God is with us and he's fighting for us. God defeated the entire Assyrian army without Hezekiah or his army having to lift a little finger. Yet even the great Hezekiah had times when he drifted away from God and went against God. Puffed up with pride and arrogance, he showed off the wealth of his nation to Babylon, who not long after attacked and conquered Judah in 587 BC. We're heading into the home stretch. Are you guys doing okay? Still tracking with me? Okay. Character number 11, Esther. Babylon fell to Persia, and the Jewish people, they were forced out of their promised land, and they had to live as exiles in this foreign land. And a plot was unveiled to exterminate all of the Jewish people living in exile. In another crazy turn of events that only God could orchestrate, a young Hebrew girl named Esther became the new queen of Persia. And it's no accident that God places us where he does, when he does. And Esther was raised up for such a time as this. She risked her life to stand up for her people, and God delivered them from their enemies. Character 12, Nehemiah. Nehemiah was employed by a Persian king. When he heard how the holy city of Jerusalem in the promised land lay in ruins, and God put it on Nehemiah's heart to rebuild the walls. Man, his story is just a testimony that God is with us and fighting for us. Along the way, Nehemiah prayed and God's hand was with him. Enemies tried to distract, deter, derail the work. But with God's help, Nehemiah rebuilt the walls in 52 days, and his enemies had to pay the bill. Just brilliant. Love it. Nehemiah sought to rebuild the nation on the solid foundations of Scripture, prayer, worship, giving, serving. And these are great foundations for our life as well. Well, sadly, the people of Israel, they just couldn't get it, kept drifting away. And by the end of the Old Testament, it is painfully clear that we need a Savior who can defeat evil and bring us back into a right relationship with God once and for all, forever. Character 13, Jesus. We ended our last segment with Jesus coming. And there is no greater picture that God is with us and is fighting for us than we see in Jesus. In the divine mystery of this Holy Trinity, God the Father sent his Son Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit to be born of a virgin from the nation of Israel. Jesus was called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And he came to fight for us. In John 10:11, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And he came to lay down his life for us, to take the punishment for all of our wrongs on himself on the cross, so that we could be forgiven and made new. He came to suffer and die so that he could defeat death and offer eternal life to everyone who believes in him. He came so that the same power of the Holy Spirit could be in each and every one of us. And that brings us to the point one. Do you wonder what the point one would be? The point one is us. We're part of the story. God is with us, and he's fighting for us. How we respond to that good news impacts our story. I've experienced that in my life recently. Many of you know I've been dealing with skin cancer, several surgeries, and it's kind of gotten me down, having trouble seeing God in all of it. And I began to kind of drift. A few mornings, I missed my prayer and Bible reading with God, and I just started to sink into a very dark place. But God's been showing me that he's with me, and he's fighting for me. Many of you have made a point to check in on how I'm doing and to pray for me, and that's really lifted my spirits. I got back into my morning routine with God, and God's been blessing me with strength and a new vision. At my last doctor's appointment, I had this thought that and maybe I was at the dermatology office so that I could bring Jesus there. They must really need Jesus for how often I'm there, but anyway. But it was a new thought for me, and it kind of excited me. And so when they asked me how my weekend went, I took the opportunity to share about some of the cool things that God is doing in and through our church and to ask them how I could pray for them. And it was really cool to see God moving through those interactions. And it was just another reminder to me, God's with me. He's fighting for me. And so wherever you're at in your faith journey, whatever you're going through in your life, I want to encourage you with this good news. God is with you, and he's fighting for you. You can be strong and courageous, knowing that he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And so I would challenge you, draw close to God. Trust in Jesus as your Savior. Build your life on the solid foundation of Scripture, prayer, worship, giving, serving. And then partner with God to fight for love in this world and to point others to Jesus. To close this message, I want to share with you a song. It's a song that I really wrote for myself. I didn't plan to share it with anybody, but as I thought about it, I thought maybe you need the same kind of encouragement that I've needed. And so the song is called Be Strong and Courageous.
Our God brings the victory. trust in our Savior and fight for love. We won't be scared. We won't back down. We'll be strong and courageous, for our God is with us now.
I know we covered a lot of ground today, and so if you want to have a follow-up conversation or you need prayer for something, just send me a note, or you can use the image on the screen to connect via your phone. But I want to lead us now into a time of prayer. Would you pray with me? God, in this moment, we confess all the ways that we drift away from you, all the ways that we go against you. We're sorry for doing that when all along you have been such an amazing, faithful God. And we thank you so much that you're the kind of God who, even in our sin, you're with us and you're fighting for us. Thank you for sending Jesus so that nobody has to leave this place today carrying sin. Thank you for sending Jesus so that we can be forgiven and free, so that we can have the power of your Spirit in us to guide the way. And God, I pray that you'd give each of us wisdom on how to do that. I pray if there's anybody here today who's never before turned to you and placed their trust in you, I pray that they would make today their day to do that and begin a brand new journey with you. God, we're sitting in the midst of quilts, acts of love that were done by our quilting ministry and will be sent around the world to help those in need. And God, I pray that whoever's covered in that quilt or uses it as a bag or a tent, it would just be a reminder that you're with them and you're fighting for them. And God, I pray for the team that's going to Honduras this week. Pray that you'd keep them safe. And as they share medical help and as they offer the story of your good news, may they be a reminder to those people that you're with us and you're fighting for us. And I pray for all of the runners who are going to be running the marathon next week. Pray for their protection. Pray for healthy bodies. But most of all, we celebrate the way that the money that they're raising is going to bring clean water. And I pray that every child, every family that drinks of that clean water would be reminded that you are with us and that you're fighting for us. God, give us wisdom this week to know how to draw close to you and the courage to partner with you, to fight for love and to point others to Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. I'll say it again. I don't think there's any other picture